Good morning, everyone. This is the Constitution Today portion of Westchester on the Level. Hezzy is not with us today, but I am here with my partner, Brendan Berry. I am Jeffrey Swartz. We are both professors of law at Thomas M. Cooley Law School in on our Tampa Bay campus. And we are both here in our own capacity. I'm supposed to say the following, and that is that the opinions that are voiced by Brendan and myself are our own opinions and not necessarily the opinions of the administration of WMU Cooley Law School or its faculty at large. So there's our disclaimer for the people who want to disclaim us. I hope there aren't too many of those. Okay. Good morning, Brendan.
Good morning, Jeff. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. We have a lot to talk about today, a lot of subjects, which most of which we will never get to.
Right, okay. Right.
Okay.
As per usual.
Do that. And since you have a probably a more interesting approach to what do I really think segment, I'm going to let you go first. So what do you really think, Brendan?
You know, there's a couple things I really think, but the one that, you know, there was a close call between two different issues today, but we'll get to the second one later. The one that stands out is recent developments involving Joe Manchin, the senator from Democratic senator from West Virginia, who was actually called out by President Biden recently, who, not by name, but in a presentation he was making, Joe Biden said, you know, I got two Democrats in the Senate who often vote with my Republican friends. Of course, he was talking about Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema out of Arizona. But we see again here that, you know, that in this past week, Joe Manchin, you know, he assumed, appeared to assume at one point that there would be bipartisan support, sufficient bipartisan support for a January 6th commission to overcome a filibuster. I don't know how naive one would have to be to think that you had 10 Republicans in the Senate who were going to go along with creating a commission to study the insurrection that happened on January 6th. But apparently, if he's to be believed, he thought that 10 Republicans would go along with it. Of course, that didn't happen. He has since announced, in the midst of nothing short of a full-on assault by the Republican Party on voting rights and accessibility, really, of voting, that he is not in favor and will not vote for the bill in front of the Senate that would protect voting rights. He thinks it goes too far. I don't know which part he thinks goes too far, but he thinks it goes too far. He also has stated that he will not support abandoning or even reforming the filibuster. You know, I mean, one would think that if you're not going to get rid of the filibuster, you'd at least, you know, require a speaking filibuster or indulge some kind of reforms to get the use of the filibuster under control. He has no interest in doing that. And if some reporting is to be believed, he's actually covering for other Democrats who don't want to reform the filibuster, but they don't want to say it publicly. So he's willing to take the heat since, you know, he's from West Virginia, and, you know, what did Trump win that state by? 20-something points, 30 points?
He had 69% of the vote.
Okay, so there you go. And so Joe Manchin is not worried about going along with the Republicans. That's whereas other Democrats are. So, you know, the underlying point that I would make would be, and I get, you know, we want to be realistic in our expectations. We want senators to be sensitive to their own political standing. We understand all that. But as we have been discussing now for many weeks, the Republic is on the line at this point. You know, last time the system held, you know, by a hair. If corrupt, Trump-leaning officials had been in place in Wisconsin, Arizona, and Georgia, during this past election, rather than Republicans who actually had some ethical, you know, some ethical backbone. If corrupt people had been in charge of those states would have certified Trump as the winner, despite Joe Biden having won, and Donald Trump would still be president, and our republic would already be over. You know, furthermore, there were only around 40,000 votes in those three states that separated Joe Biden from Donald Trump. And so, if those votes had switched, Donald Trump would still be president. So now they're doing a two-pronged attack. Republicans are. Number one is try to make sure people can't vote so that doesn't happen again. And number two, if a Republican does lose the next election in those states, have Republicans in place who will certify the Republican as the winner anyway. So they're going after both the voters and the vote counters. And Joe Manchin and his ilk don't seem to understand the situation we're in. It's not just that there was an insurrection. It's that there is an assault on American democracy underway. Now, Republicans have been showing us for many, many years now that they are not going to play by any set of rules that is accepted as the normal, right, the norms and protocols that normally go along with governing or with politicking, right, or with campaigning. They're not interested in it. Mitch McConnell, I think, is Exhibit A when it comes to that. Right? He'll make whatever rules suit him to keep Republicans in power and in control. And Democrats just persistently insist that they're going to play by the rules. They have to understand that they're playing against somebody who doesn't follow the rules. It's frustrating, to say the least, that Democrats have not understood this, that they're still talking about bipartisanship, in terms of working with a political party that has no discernible ideology, whose only discernible goal is to stay in power. And they'll do anything they can to stay there.
And that's not much different than Manchin's thought process. All he wants to do is stay in office.
Right, exactly. And we're at the point where Democrats are either going to start playing hardball, you know, reform the filibuster, start passing legislation to protect voting. If they need to add judges to the federal courts, then do it. If you need to add D.C. and Puerto Rico as states, do it. Do it all now while you still can, or you're going to be a permanent minority in Congress. You're going to be helpless to protect the real outcomes of elections in the United States. We're at the precipice, and we still have Joe Manchin's and Sinema's. And whoever else pretending that these are, that we can play footsie with the other side, and it has to stop. That's what I think.
Well, and I'm not going to disagree with you. It was a subject of a lot of conversation over the last 2 days. Joe Manchin's editorial, which he did not publish in a major newspaper. He published it in his hometown newspaper.
Right.
Local newspaper, and then it was then sent out on the wires. But the truth of the matter is he did not want to make it a national announcement. He wanted West Virginians to believe he represented them. Mm-hmm. And there are few more red states than West Virginia. And the fact that Joe Manchin is, for all intents and purposes, a unicorn, as far as statewide elections and office holders in the state of West Virginia. The fact of the matter is that Democrats helped him get reelected 2 years ago. And Democrats have allowed him to play this game that he plays and stand in their way at times. And now he is enjoying the power he has. But what he doesn't understand, or he refuses to recognize, is that if the Democrats lose the majority in the Senate, he has no power at all.
Right.
Or he is prepared, if that happens, to switch parties and become a Republican.
Right.
Playing a very dangerous game here for the sake of his own power instead of the protection of the United States Constitution. And the same thing goes for Kristen Sinema. She's only there because Democrats came out and voted for her. Not the Republican base, not Republicans in Arizona. Democrats voted for her and poured tens of millions of dollars into her election. And yet, for whatever the reasons may be, she is ungrateful for her seat in the Senate. She is there to help Democrats accomplish things. The same thing goes for Joe Manchin. Why would we pour money into his election if all he's going to do is act like a moderate Republican and sound like Susan Collins and the others? There's a lack of courage. None of these people have any courage.
Right.
They have no courage. You know, none of them would be in Profiles of Courage as written by John F. Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
Because they will not stand. It's like they don't believe in anything. All they
right.
believe in is their salary, their reelection, and all their benefits. That's all they believe in. So if Joe Manchin wants to be a Republican, get it over with. It's not going to change anything. You're right. It's time that, you know, I'm sitting there looking at a picture of him right now, and he just looks like, I don't want, you know, he's got his head down, like, I don't want to talk to you. Don't take my picture.
Mm-hmm.
Enough. If you're not going to be a Democrat, become a Republican. Kristen Sinema, if you're a Republican, tell everybody you're really a Republican.
Mm-hmm.
But enough already. I agree with you 100%. What do I think is actually a personal experience. It took place last Wednesday. I was at the Tampa International Airport early for my flight, as I always am. I was with Marilyn, and we went to the Hard Rock Cafe restaurant to grab a quick bite to eat before the flight. And we picked a table. I don't know why she picked that table, but she picked the table we sat at. And we were there about 2 minutes, and she looks over and she says, you know who that is at the table next to us? So I looked over. I said, no, I have no idea. She says, that's Michael Flynn. For those of you who don't know him by his first name, you might know him as General or Disgraced General, or disgraced a national security advisor,
yeah.
Or maybe you just want to call him by what he is. He's a felon. Okay, even though his case was dismissed, he admitted he committed a felony, so he is rightfully a felon, a admitted liar, a bad guy. And he's sitting there with two rather large security-looking guys and some guy in a suit with a red tie that looks like he's just like right out of Republican GQ. And we can barely overhear, but they're talking about planning a QAnon rally in Tampa. And I'm, you know, I'm starting to, he put me right off my sandwich. And, you know, I just, you know, I told, we got a sandwich to share, and I told Marilyn, just go ahead and eat it. And I'm sitting there saying, you know, I want to yell out the word traitor. I literally want to yell this out. I want to yell out the word felon. And I said something to Marilyn. She says, there's two very large security men there. Do you really want to get into this? We're on our way to a funeral. So I held myself back, and then I said, you know, I'm going to go over and ask to take a picture with him. And she said, why? And I said, because I'm going to go over there, have my picture taken, and put it on Facebook. And the caption on it is going to read something like, I used to be a criminal defense attorney, and I'm used to being next to felons. But this is a first for me. It's never been a traitor. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I wanted to put up. Okay? So instead, she took a picture. She surreptitiously took a picture of him as he's on, as he's kind of turned towards Mr. Republican GQ and another guy who's trying to make a point. And he's playing on his, he's looking at his email, I guess, and he's looking at his phone, probably a text message from some, from Q himself. And she surreptitiously takes this picture. So I put it up on my Facebook page, and it reads, at airport, and look who I found. Michael Flynn and the Insurrection Council planning their next rally. Traitors in plain view. I'm so proud of myself for not yelling out traitor or lock him up. I wasn't proud of myself. And then some of the people that are friends of mine posted things like, you should have. What's wrong with you? Okay. But I chose not to do it. The fact that these guys are traveling around the country, fermenting insurrection, he sits on a stage and says, what happened in Myanmar should happen here. I mean, he basically says, there's no reason why it shouldn't happen. It should happen. And then he tried to walk it back. Okay. I mean, how simple is it? It should happen here. It can happen here. And he's talking to QAnon people. What do you think he's doing? Now, my attitude is he should be called back to active duty. He should be court-martialed. And he should be reduced in rank to PFC. That's private first class, for those of you who don't know. It is the lowest rank in the Army and would reduce his pensions by about 95% if they don't want to put him in jail, which is where he belongs. To coin a phrase, they should lock him up.
Right.
Okay. So, I, you know, and he always wears the same thing, always wears a red shirt and a blue blazer with an American flag on. Real mark. And I think that it's just intolerable that this type of behavior of fermenting insurrection and rebellion and the end to our republic is being tolerated by authorities.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot believe that they have not been infiltrated, and we know what they're saying and they're doing. And if that's what they're doing, you know, indict this guy. He doesn't have Bill Barr to protect him anymore. And by the way, Bill Barr should be sitting right next to him in the same cell. So this type of open rebellion talk and the fermenting of rebellion is sedition, and it should be called out for saying. Mike Flynn belongs in jail. And the fact that he's not in jail is a crime in and of itself. That's what I think.
Yeah. Yeah, that's by the way, I'm looking at your Facebook page. That's a good picture. You've really got a good shot there. That's
I didn't get the shot. Marilyn got the shot.
Marilyn.
But I'll tell her you said so.
Good. That's no. I mean, yeah. I
does that
I
look
agree.
Like three insurrectionists plotting something? Does that look like
it
three
does.
People plotting something to you?
It does. It does.
It is so perfect.
And, it's Boy, so we have something to look forward to here in Tampa. We're going to have a QAnon rally down here in
apparently,
in Tampa,
yeah. They had one scheduled, and it got canceled, and they're trying to reinstate it. So,
okay.
That's what they're
working
on. You know, they're going around the country trying to put together these QAnon rallies.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and let's face it, and let's face reality. Obama called it on this guy. He fired him. He saw what he was. He saw what he was doing. He didn't follow orders. He did whatever he felt like doing. And he wasn't good at his job. I don't care what anybody says. He was not good at his job. And I just wonder how much of what he knew was compromised to the Russians. I really want to know. Okay? I got really disturbed this weekend. I was at a funeral. It wasn't a funeral. It was a celebration of life and then the burial of ashes and for someone who had disappeared for 14 months and then they found him, unfortunately, deceased. And it was a family gathering, and I'm not going to talk about what family member it would be because that's just not something I need to do, but there was a family member that was there who literally looked at me during the course of a conversation and said, I think the Chinese have it right. One guy in charge making all the decisions. And I was absolutely horrified.
Yeah.
I was absolutely horrified that there are people who would trash the Constitution. And these are people who believe in the Second Amendment. That's the incongruity.
Yeah, right.
Because they don't understand. Without a constitution, there is no Second Amendment. There is no right to own firearms. And I don't know one strongman. I don't know one autocrat who lets his populace own firearms.
Mm-hmm.
Name one other than us. We don't have an autocrat. So find an autocratic country that allows the population to own firearms.
Mm-hmm.
You can't find one. And so what makes them think they won't come and as they said many times, take their weapons from their cold dead hands? Without a constitution to protect them. What is wrong with these people that don't understand the constitution protects them? They're out there yelling and screaming, I have constitutional rights. Okay, you're using them now. What are you going to do when you haven't got a constitution, moron? Can't even forget seeing the forest for the trees. You can't even see their own fingers.
Yeah.
They're so myopic. They can't see beyond the end of their nose.
Mm-hmm.
Assuming their face isn't so fat that they can't see their nose.
Oh,
I know that's kind of tacky. Okay, I'll take that one back. Some of them are pretty skinny. Look at Flynn; he's got that long nose and that skinny face. So,
He
looks like Captain Hook a little bit, but that's okay.
Yeah.
I just don't get them, and I'm not going to get it. Stop screaming, I have constitutional rights when you're trying to overturn the Constitution.
Right.
Admit who and what you are. So, okay, let's get off of that. Enough of that.
Well, one more point about Flynn, though. From what I hear, last I heard, I just heard a report about it. I don't know, if this is going to stick. But as of now, apparently the Defense Department has said they have no interest in pursuing him. And as you say, calling him back and court-martialing him, or at least investigating, whether they should. And it goes again to the two sides always playing by different rules.
Right.
And ironically, it's the side that has nothing to prosecute that wants to prosecute people, and right, that being Republicans, and the Democrats who have plenty to prosecute who don't want to prosecute people. You know, let's not divide the country. Hey, newsflash, country's already divided. It's too late for that. And
right.
It's time to bring these people to justice when possible.
I would tell you this, that I don't understand why the charges against him weren't reinstated.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, that was a dismissal without prejudice.
Right.
All they had to do, there was no pardon for him. He was never pardoned. They should reinstate the charges.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you. It's time for Democrats to play hardball. You're trying to play by a set of rules that handicap you. You're trying to play by a set of rules that the other side has no interest in dealing with. And it's time to stop being Mr. Nice Guy. If they've committed crimes, go after them. I don't care if Flynn yells and screams that he's been gagged by the Army. He's lucky he isn't getting hung by the Army. So maybe it's just time, and I agree with you, it's time to play hardball. It really is. You're just not good at dealing with the rules when the other side is taking advantage of the rules. Time to change the rules. You got the power, change the rules.
Right.
That's all. All right. This weekend, this past weekend, an order came out. From Judge Roger T. Benitez, who is a federal district judge, who has a long history of finding any restriction on firearms, including ammunition and clips, magazine laws. Came out with an order finding that California's 34-year-old ban on assault weapons as unconstitutional. And knowing he was going to get overturned by the Ninth Circuit, gave the state of California 30 days to file their appeal so that the Ninth Circuit could continue that stay. And for the umpteenth time, admonish Mr. and I'm going to call him Mr. because he's really not a judge to me, but he's got the title, Benitez, admonish him again for not following in-place precedent, either by the Ninth Circuit, which he is bound to follow, or the United States Supreme Court. He has a long history of favoring pro-gun groups. And he described the AR-15 rifle as, quote, like the Swiss Army knife, the popular AR-15 is a perfect combination of home defense weapon and homeland defense equipment. I want to see people defend the homeland with a Swiss Army knife. I want to see you confront a burglar in your home with a Swiss Army knife. Make sure you don't pull out the bottle opener instead of the blade.
Oh, God.
He found it. Basically, they declared the California statute to be unconstitutional because they declared it a crime to own an AR-15. I don't understand why, for example, someone has not filed articles of impeachment against this judge for violating his oath, not for believing what he believes. If he wants to go out there and be a shill for the NRA, that's fine. If he wants to go out there and run for political office on an NRA platform, that's fine. But you don't become a judge on a pro-gun platform and try to execute on that platform time after time after time and being reversed each of those times. You just don't. The California law was the model for the 1994 assault weapons ban that was found constitutional, not overbroad, not vague, 9 times in federal courts. It stood up to a challenge under the Commerce Clause. It stood up to a challenge under the Due Process Clause. Because it defined assault weapons so specifically, as did the California law, that there was no basis whatsoever for this judge to make this finding. It was just his own personal love of guns. Probably owns one of those illegal AR-15s himself. Wouldn't it be fun to find one of those and charge him with it? So I'm just like really unhappy about this. On the basis that I used to be a judge, and if I disobeyed existing precedent like this, I'd have been removed in a heartbeat. The JQC would have had me before them, God knows how many times, and then finally had enough of me and taken my seat away. I don't understand. Maybe you can explain it to me, Brendan.
Yeah. Well, somebody who would... So this is somebody who would have failed Sesame Street. Like, which one of these things is not like the others? Remember that old game, you know?
They
would, right? A shoe, a glove, a hat, and a hamburger.
They do that on the LSAT.
Right,
how did he get through the LSAT? They do things like
right.
that there, don't they?
Okay. Yeah, that's right. I mean, if you can compare an AR-15 to a Swiss Army knife, then you're not capable of being embarrassed, let alone shamed. That level of... unreason, but you know, we may find out soon whether this judge is going to wind up with the majority view on the Supreme Court. Just for background for folks listening, you know, there have been two U.S. Supreme Court cases about the Second Amendment where the court had the opportunity to address the scope of the Second Amendment, right? First of all, the Supreme Court ignored what we call the prefatory clause, right, about a well-regulated militia, and just sort of excised that from their analysis.
You mean they took the comma out, yeah.
Yeah, they took the comma out, and everything in front of the comma, too. You know, don't forget that.
Yeah.
And said, you know, well, the Second Amendment establishes, a freestanding individual right to own arms, regardless of the militia language that's in there. But as to the scope, you know, and this was the late Justice Scalia here, he was very careful to say that they were not going beyond saying that a kind of a typical handgun that you would keep in your home, right, for protection of your home, that is protected. And if any government tries to take away your right to have a handgun in your home, it would face, you know, strict judicial scrutiny on that. But now, in other words, the court has never said you have a right to own an assault weapon. The court has never said you have a right to own a, you know, even beyond that, a military grade explosive or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
The court's never gone there. And the court has also never said that you have a right to concealed carry in public. Or carry it all in public. It's again, limited its holding to in the home. Now, this Supreme Court has taken up a case. They haven't heard it yet, but they have decided that they're going to hear a case out of New York, where New York requires that if you want a concealed carry permit, you have to have a reason, right, why you need to be carrying a weapon, or, you know, somebody's threatening you, or you know, you have the kind of job That could put you in personal danger. That's the rule in New York. You would think that the Supreme Court would not have taken up that case under existing precedent. There'd be nothing wrong with New York saying, you know, there is no right to concealed carry. And so we'll give you a concealed carry permit if you have a reason. There'd be no reason for the Supreme Court to take that up unless there's something up their sleeve. In 2011, now Justice Kavanaugh, who was then a judge on a lower court, filed a dissenting opinion in which he said he would have voted to strike down a law that merely required registration of assault-style weapons as a violation of the Second Amendment. So if he's of a mind to say something like that, and if Barrett, Amy Coney Barrett, is with him on that, we're going to see a massive expansion. In the midst of all the recent shootings, and again, you talk about an epidemic of gun violence in the United States. We're likely to see an expansion of Second Amendment rights. At the same time, we're seeing, for example, a woman's right to terminate a pregnancy, probably narrowing. The only right that this court, I think, has an interest in broadening, it would be Second Amendment rights. All the other ones, when it comes to personal autonomy, privacy, reproduction, and whatnot, I take that back. There's one other right that I think this court is going to broaden out, and that's, quote-unquote, free exercise of religion. And we talked about this earlier, Jeff. There's a case. We're waiting for a ruling from the Supreme Court on a case involving Catholic social services in Philadelphia, which refuses to place adoptive children with same-sex couples. And of course, they claim that doing so would violate their sincerely held religious beliefs. And of course, the city of Philadelphia is saying, look, we're not targeting anybody's religion. We have a religiously neutral rule, right, policy in place that if you discriminate on the basis of sexual orientation, right, we are not going to refer people for placement, right, to your organization, and we're certainly not going to give you any money. And that has nothing to do with people's religion. It has to do with discrimination. So if past is prologue, the court is likely to go along with Catholic social services. Again, Justice Kavanaugh during oral argument seemed to be saying, why don't you allow Catholic social services to do what it's going to do and just, as to same-sex couples, refer people elsewhere. Interesting. Just this morning I was reading, I had not known this. I knew that LGBTQ youngsters, teenagers in particular, have a much higher suicide rate than other kids. But I did not realize, although I suppose it makes sense, given how many of these kids are turned out of their families, up to 34% of the kids who need foster care placement are LGBTQ. And so just think about the message that sends to these kids, right? You're an right. LGBTQ kid, but LGBTQ parents are no good, right? My God condemns them. So so gun rights and the rights of religious people to discriminate, I think those are going to broaden. And as I said, personal privacy, autonomy type rights, look for those to narrow.
Yeah, it's interesting that you talk about that because in that case involving the state of New York, which is New York State Rifle and Pistol Association versus Corlett. Exactly the opposite to what Texas is doing. It happened in New York. The opposite is happening in Texas. About a few weeks ago, the Texas House passed a bill that would allow people to open carry handguns without a permit. And when I say open carry, I mean like the old West, like the Lone Ranger and Wyatt Earp. Okay, mm-hmm. Strap on your holster, okay, and put your gun in it, and you're entitled to carry your gun. And this is for anyone over the age of 18. I'm sorry, 21. Concealed or otherwise. So now you can carry a concealed weapon. All you got to pay is a $40 application fee. You don't have to take a weapons course like you used to in the past. Okay? You don't have to tell anybody you're carrying the weapon. And if you're a business owner and you don't want guns in your business, you can't just hang a sign. You have to make an announcement. You have to tell people in the store, we don't allow guns in this store. So you're going to have to run a continuing tape announcement at the front door that says, guns are not allowed on these premises. Guns are not allowed on this premises. For it to be wrong and for someone to be arrested for it. I mean, this is absurd. We're going to have showdowns. High noon showdowns in the streets of Texas. Whoever draws first, if the other guy fires, it's self-defense. It was a fair fight. I just, until people start getting gunned down in the streets for no reason at all, or how about a six-year-old child getting gunned down by a gun nut who in a road rage fires a shot at the car and it goes right through the trunk and into the kid's back. And his last words are, my tummy hurts. This is the kind of country you want to live in? You want to be the Wild West, the entire country to turn into the Wild West? This is not 1821. This is 2021. And there is law west of the Pecos. I really don't understand the thought process. Are the ideologues on the Supreme Court totally adverse to their role? That they come to the court with an agenda? Is their role to destroy our democracy? Is that what the Supreme Court is about now? I'm sorry. I get lost in all of this. I get lost in those thought processes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm looking, for example, at the assault weapons ban from 1994, which was modeled after the assault weapons ban in California. And all they outlawed were guns like the AK-47, the Uzi, the Beretta AR-70, the Colt AR-15, the forerunners of the M16, M10s, and M11s. Even shotguns that had revolving cylinders were considered to be semi-automatic weapons for which there is a ban. And they defined what they were. They by their stock or their pistol grip. That they have magazines that attach to the outside. Threaded barrels. I don't understand. Folding or telescoping stocks. Pistol grips. Detachable magazines. I don't understand why anybody needs these weapons. This is not, you're not going to keep this by your bed to shoot somebody who walks in your door. More likely, you're going to hang it on a wall for some burglar to steal and shoot you. It just boggles the mind.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever happened to reasonableness? I thought that was what the Constitution was about. Second Amendment has reasonable restrictions. Are you going to lift the ban on fully automatic weapons that's been in place since 1937? How about if a guy wants to go out and buy a tank and the ammo to go with it and the M50 machine guns that are mounted on the outside? That's okay. You're just going to drive it to work. And if a car gets in his way, he'll just blow it up or run right over it. What? Who cares?
Yeah, it's got road rage is going to be real interesting.
Right. Yeah, I believe in freedom. Freedom. Freedom to kill. But don't abort a baby, because that's murder.
Yeah. It just
gets on me. That's all. Yeah. I agree with you. It makes no sense. None of this is making sense right now. And it's all just one step at a time to destroying the Constitution.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
It really is.
You know, and the Supreme Court went a long way to doing that in the Shelby County case. Again, you know, when you look at, you and I talk about this all the time, and we talked about it on air as well, there are counter-democratic mechanisms built into our institutions. The Electoral College, right? And, you know, seven Democrats have won, what, the popular vote seven out of the last eight elections.
Yeah.
And yet have lost three of those elections. The Senate, you know, it's now well known that the majority of senators at this time represent a minority of the people in the United States. So the Senate is this, you know, it was a product of what we call the Great Compromise, right? It convinced the smaller states, incidentally, largely slaveholding states, to join the Union because they were going to have equal representation in at least one house of Congress. So the Senate is not designed to promote majority rule. It's designed to give disproportionate power to smaller states, lesser populations. So you have the Electoral College, you have the Senate, you have political gerrymandering going on all over the country, and then you have the Supreme Court did its part in the Shelby County case, where it gutted the Voting Rights Act. Many of these new laws that are sweeping at the United States that we talked about earlier, restricting voting rights, would not have been permitted if the old regime was still in place. And under the Voting Rights Act, before the Supreme Court ripped it apart, a jurisdiction that has a history of discriminatory practices, which is, you know, a whole lot of them in the United States, would have to get preclearance to change voting rules. You simply can't do it. The states would simply not be able to do what they're doing. You can't just pass a law changing voting rules. You'd have to get pre-cleared by the Department of Justice to do that. And it was very common under the Voting Rights Act for the Justice Department to say, no, we know we see what you're up to. You're trying to disenfranchise ethnic minorities again, like you've been doing for hundreds of years. Well, Justice Roberts in Shelby County said, you know, despite the fact that, you know, you talk about having an agenda, the Constitution and both the 14th and 15th Amendments clearly and explicitly says Congress has the authority to enforce the Equal Protection Clause, and Congress, the United States Congress, has the authority to enforce voting rights when it comes to ethnic minority groups. It explicitly says that. Nonetheless, Justice Roberts, you know, for a majority on the court, says, "Well, we think that Congress has gone too far." Right. So they're substituting their own judgment for Congress's in a way that, of course, conservative judges constantly say you're not supposed to do.
Right.
And struck down the preclearance provision of the Voting Rights Act. So this is
and
what we
and
got.
That's
so,
what's interesting because it was interesting that Scalia I don't think Scalia was on the court when that happened. I think he was still alive, wasn't he?
I can't remember.
Can't remember either, but if he was in the majority on that, that would belie everything he's ever argued. And if
right.
you're looking for it, just look at Dickerson from 2000, in which he says that the court has substituted its own substituted its own legislation for that of the people's representatives in Congress.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of 18 U.S.C. 3501, and so what you have is we'll legislate by unlegislating. We'll legislate by wiping out legislation that we think goes too far. Well, I'm sorry, that's not your job. Your job is to determine whether mm-hmm. something's constitutional or not. And going
right.
too far is a political question.
Right.
Not a legal question. Not that Scalia was not beyond his own hypocrisy, because his hypocrisy had no bounds. But, you know, that is hypocritical for any conservative judge, anyone who claims that courts are legislating, to sit there on the Supreme Court and say that Congress went too far, Congress
right.
should not have done that. Well, that's not their job to determine whether they should or shouldn't have done it.
Right.
Does it fit in the Constitution? And if it does, shut up. That's what you kept telling liberal judges. Isn't that what you told them? It's not in the Constitution, and it fits in the Constitution, and that makes it constitutional, then okay. If the Constitution doesn't prohibit it, the Constitution doesn't prohibit it. Congress can do whatever it wants. Oh, well, except for things I don't like.
Right. Right. And in the process,
go ahead. No.
In the process of striking down that provision of the Voting Rights Act, Justice Roberts, and one of the most, you talk about myopic, naive, and ignorant things that's ever been said by a U.S. Supreme Court, essentially declared that racism isn't a problem in the United States anymore.
Boy, did he learn, I remember, he learned a lesson
yeah.
within 12 months, didn't he?
Yeah, right, right.
Does he regret making that statement when he sees all these laws being passed around the country?
Right.
Does he
right.
regret making that statement? Jim Crow is not a problem. He just has a new name. Now he's James Crow because we mm-hmm. have to call him by his proper name. It's fact. You know, he's back, like Voldemort.
Mm-hmm.
He's back. Do you feel bad about saying something so stupid? Or do you really live in that kind of shadow world? And we have said this 100 times, and I'll say it 100 times more until somebody puts me in the ground. White people have to learn that they're just not in charge anymore. And all these attempts to suppress people are only going to cause them to rebel more. This is not a white country. You are not more of an American because you're white. Not the way it works. And all these nice white conservatives sitting up on the court in Washington are so out of touch with America. Alito is one of the leaders. He's just so out of touch with reality and doesn't care. Now, interesting, another interesting thing, and we've got about 5 minutes left.
Mm-hmm.
Congressman Mo Brooks was served with a lawsuit from another congressman, Eric Swalwell, this
mm-hmm.
week. Those of you who don't remember Congressman Brooks. He's the one that stood in front of the January 6th rally and said, we got to start taking names and kicking ass. But he wasn't inciting anything. So he complained about the way that he was served. It's interesting. There seem to be two versions of this. He claims that the service was made after a team of people criminally trespassed upon his property. And he writes a tweet, because he is one, that says, horrible Swalwell's team committed a crime by unlawfully sneaking into my house and accosting my wife, and cited the Alabama criminal trespass and said that it's a year in jail and $6,000 fine. Okay? Brooks's spokesman said that the process server entered the house without
right.
Brooks's wife's knowledge and refused to leave when she demanded it. And Mills claimed there was video proof. Okay, here's the video proof. His wife pulled into her garage, a detached garage, I might add. And a process server walked into the garage and handed her the papers. It's not trespass to serve people because you are officially sanctioned to serve. It's like serving a warrant on people. You can enter upon someone's property for the purposes of making service the process. He's been, like a little boy, he's been ducking service. And instead of being a grown-up and saying, okay, I'll waive service of process, he demanded that they serve him. Well, when you serve someone, you serve them at their home to anyone who is an adult person who would be authorized to accept service of process. And if he's not there, his wife can accept service on his behalf. I guess he didn't figure that one out with his law degree that he got. There is a video.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The footage shows, and by the way, it was shared with CBS News, who got it from Brooks's office, showed a process server, a man, pulling into the driveway after a gray SUV drove slowly into what appears to be the garage. The man then jumps out of his vehicle and carrying papers runs into the garage after the SUV, out of sight of the camera. That's what happened. He just walked up to her and said, you are now served. And she doesn't have to hold out her hand and take them. All he has to do is throw them at her feet. You're served. Bye. Bye. I can't wait to hear the motion to dismiss.
Right.
In federal court, not in a state court, in federal court. Grow up, man.
Yeah, they can add it to their list of grievances.
Said some things. If you believed in them, stand up for them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So he doesn't want to go to trial on that.
Right, because there's an underlying cause of action, right? One member of Congress can sue another member of Congress for putting them in danger.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I mean.
But he doesn't want to accept process, right?
Right. And the bottom line is no one entered or attempted to enter his house.
Right. Right. And as to the allegation that he didn't leave when asked, I saw that video. He ran out of the garage almost as soon as he had run in. So I don't know. I don't know what
all
he
did was run in and drop them at her feet and run out.
Right, and ran
That's
back out.
That's what happened.
Right, right.
He dropped them at her feet and said, you are served, and ran out the door.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's supposed to do. Right. That's what if he's an authorized court process server, that is what he's supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Idiot. Come on, Mo. If you really believe in what you're saying, stand up for it and say, I did the right thing.
Right.
Defend your actions on their validity, not on try to duck service.
Mm-hmm.
And hide. Sneak out back doors. What a child. By the way, his Twitter account, this is good, but just so you know, it's labeled Mo Brooks, endorsed by President Trump. I'll leave it at that.
There you
it
have it.
It is now 11 o'clock. It's now
yep.
11 o'clock. And our yep. time is up. And as usual, we got the three subjects out of the 10 we talked about.
Right. Well, it's been fun as always.
It has always been fun. Okay, Hezzy will be back next week, as I understand it. We will be back next week. Everyone have a wonderful day. Brendan, enjoy the rest of your day, and I'll talk
you
to you
well.
Later. Okay, and everybody else, have
Sounds
a wonderful
good.
Day. All right,
yep,
bye-bye.
Bye, everybody. Bye-bye.